the March meeting. March meeting for the Steuben County Land Bank Corporation in order. And can I have a motion to approve the minutes from the meeting last month?
Jack, so move.
Second? Is there somebody who seconded?
Second.
Sounds like you. Okay. Oh, I was going to say Hilda did.
No. Anybody have any changes or deletions to the minutes? If not, can I have everyone in favor say aye?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Anybody who is opposed? Nope. Motion carried. We have our minutes approved. First thing on the agenda then is the Bonadeo audit. And is it Kaylee that's going to present?
I'm going to kick things off, but Murphy will be presenting and sharing her screen. Okay, great. So good morning, everyone. I am Kaylee Hines. I am a partner in the Syracuse office on the government team. I have some familiarity with you. I worked on the Steuben County Land Bank audit a handful of years ago with Randy. I've worked with Heather in the past. I am currently working on the task audit for Steuben County. I've done some Board of Elections consulting work last week. So although new to partnering this particular audit engagement, I'm familiar with your area and have been involved with the county in some capacity for quite some time. Murphy is your audit manager on this engagement. Really, she's the brains behind the operation. She will walk you through the financial statements, but prior to that, I'm going to touch on our required communication and our audit opinion on the financial statements. So the first document that is shown on the screen right now is our required communication. So at the completion of each of our audits, the standards dictate that we communicate with those charged with governance on these various matters. So on this first page, we highlight any qualitative aspects of the accounting practices and whether there were any new accounting policies, of which there were not any new accounting policies having any impact on the land bank. We go on to mention significant estimates, which relate to the valuation of your inventory, as well as the valuation of in-kind services. So we highlight those, and as part of our audit, consider the appropriateness and the reasonableness of those factors that go into determining the valuation of those items. And again, no concerns there, or nothing to report to you. No particularly sensitive financial statement disclosures, and overall you'll find that the disclosures in the financial statements are reflective of what has been included in previous years. Moving on, we encountered no significant difficulties in performing the audit, meaning management was willing and able to provide us anything that we needed. We did not have any misstatements detected as a result of the audit procedures. So that's always significant to you, because what that means is records and information that was coming forth from management was really the figures that are now reflected in the financial statements. So our audit procedures did not dictate or require significant changes to those values. Again, no disagreements with management. And then we go on to mention that we will request certain representations from management as of the date of our independent auditor's report. And we are not aware of any consultations that management had with other accountants or other firms by way of, you know, trying to creatively report something or doing any what we call opinion shopping. So none of that. And any of our discussions and communications throughout the course of the year were part of our ongoing professional relationship, and our responses or feedback to any of those questions or concerns were not a condition to our retention. Other matters, we mentioned our required supplementary information that's included in those financial statements, which is the management's discussion and analysis. Again, all government financial statements are required to include that. And we do not provide an opinion on that, but we make mention that our procedures included inquiry and consideration for the reasonableness of that information. So that wraps up that required communication. Now moving on to your financial statements for the December 31, 2021 year. So if you were to take the financial statements from last year and compare them to this year, I think the biggest change that you will see is actually in our independent auditor's report. So there were some audit standards that became applicable and required for implementation for the 12/31/2021 year end. And the result that affects you folks is really a change in the layout and order of our independent auditor's report. Typically, our audit standards very much only affect us in what we do, but in this particular case, really the outcome and the results of some of those changes kind of came to the forefront for our clients. So you'll see, unlike in the past, where our opinion paragraphs were buried somewhere around page two or three, depending upon the size of the report, the audit report now opens with that opinion. So really, that's what the reader is looking for. That's the highlight and the crux of our independent auditor's report. And you can see that we say in that second paragraph, in our opinion, these financial statements are presented fairly in all material respects. So that's the highest level of assurance that we are able to provide as your independent external auditors. So that's the report that you are looking for and hoping for. It goes on to explain the basis of our opinion, which in short means really the way in which we conducted our audit and in terms of following the standards. So we followed the auditing standards generally accepted in the United States of America, as well as government auditing standards, and practice in accordance with all ethical requirements. And we believe that the audit procedures that we performed and the audit evidence that we have obtained is appropriate to support that basis for our unmodified opinion. The report then goes on to highlight the responsibilities that management has related to the financial statements. So the short of it is that really these are your numbers, these are your financial statements, and the role that we play is to provide an opinion on those statements that they are fairly stated. Moving on to page two, we highlight our responsibility as your auditors. Again, the objective is to perform those audit procedures that we have deemed to be adequate and appropriate based upon the performance of a risk assessment, and then to ensure that we've performed procedures that allow us to have reasonable assurance with regards to the presentation of those financial statements. About midway through the page, you'll see some bullet points with regards to us exercising professional judgment, assessing risk, obtaining understanding of internal control. Although this is highlighted and expanded upon compared to our previous audit reports, really not much changed in substance. I mean, much of what we're describing here is how we were performing our audits prior, but the standards really kind of dictated the change in the report to really reflect all of those components of the audit and all of those things that we do when we perform the audit in accordance with the standards. Final paragraph at the bottom, again, relates to your management's discussion and analysis. As I had mentioned prior, that is required supplemental information. And again, we don't provide any assurance on that, but we do provide a cursory review of that to ensure that it seems reasonable within relation to the financial statements. But the purpose of that MD&A is really to just give a snapshot and some additional comparative information. Murphy, can you flip to page four? So this is the start of your management's discussion and analysis. So as you can see, it's marked as unaudited. Typically, we don't spend a lot of time on this. This is really for the reader and for you folks to review. The nice piece of this is really to just provide additional context, additional comparative data that would not necessarily be highlighted or provided within the body of the basic financial statements. And it also gives management an opportunity to highlight any sort of items of significance or future factors that they would want the reader to be aware of. So again, not audited, really just kind of a simple read through and hopefully more digestible information as it relates to the financial statements. So I'll turn it over to Murphy so she can walk you through the basic financial statements.
So first, starting here with the statements of net position, one of the most important items on the statement of net position for the land bank would be inventory. And as you can see here, the land bank's inventory decreased from last year about 240,000. And that's mainly because of the composition of properties you had at each year end. So last year you had about 7 properties in inventory, and this year there were only 2 as of year end. Another factor that does impact the change in inventory is if any of your properties at year end were considered overvalued compared to the market. So if the costs you put in ended up being higher than what you'd expect to receive in the market, then you would write that down to the lower of those two numbers. The second part to note here would be the increase in cash. And we'll look at that a little bit further in the statement of cash flow, but that is mainly the result of significant property sales that you had during the year. The third item you'll notice is there's no restricted cash this year, and there's also no grant revenue advance. And that's because during 2021, the enterprise grant was fully spent. So you didn't have any cash sitting there relating to the grant unspent as of year end. And then moving on to the statement of revenues, expenses, and change in net position. So as I mentioned before, you guys sold or transferred at least, I think, 7 properties during the year. And so your sale of property revenue went up quite a bit. The second item here that I would note would be your grant revenue decreased about $230,000, and that's because you finished spending the enterprise grant fully in 2021. Your cost of sales increase here, that corresponds with your sale of property increase, just more significant properties were sold during the year, so your cost of sales went up as well. One interesting change this year is the property renovation, demolition, and maintenance line. So that went up quite a bit, and that's the result of co-development agreements that you have in place with Habitat and ProAction, where the land bank wasn't actually taking title to those properties in many cases. And so those costs are simply expensed and they're not put into inventory. And those costs also were charged to the enterprise grant. And the fifth item to note here would be the unrealized loss on inventory. As I mentioned before, that is simply the result of which properties you had sitting in inventory at year end, and if they were over or undervalued compared to the market. Before I move on, any questions on this part? So the statement of cash flows, this basically just takes you from last year's cash to this year's cash, all the ins and outs, and it's a required statement for proprietary fund financial statements. Following this, on pages 12 to 15, you'll have your footnotes. And here, not many big changes. As Keely mentioned before, your estimates are outlined in here, all of your significant accounting policies, but there's no major or sensitive disclosures for the land bank financial statements. And lastly, we have the Yellow Book report. So our audit is also done in accordance with government auditing standards. And so we also provide this separate report, basically where we say if there were any areas of non-compliance or other matters that we felt we had to report to you, that would get reported here. We do a brief look at internal controls to see if there are any issues that we'd have to report. And there were no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses that we felt needed to be reported. So that's a good thing. And I'd also just like to end with thanking Chris and Mitch for all of their help on the audit. They make things really seamless and easy for this audit, especially handling it remotely. So huge thanks to them. Any questions?
Good job. No questions from this room.
We like the results, and thank you to Keely and Murphy, as well as Mitch and Chris for all that hard work. I think it looks great, and we're pretty happy of the way it turned out.
Yeah. We're just talking, Hilda. I'll make a motion to accept the audit.
Okay. Second?
I'll second it, Scott.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody
Aye.
Opposed? I think we got it passed, and thank you everyone for all the work.
Thank you.
So now I have a question. So are we doing this every 2 years, the audit? Is that why it was a 2-year audit?
No, nope, it's an annual audit.
Yeah, the audit is annual. It's just what we call comparative financial statements. So it shows you that 2020 recap.
Okay, good. Thank you. Any further questions or any more discussion? Ladies, thank you so much for all your help.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before I hop off, I just want to make sure that I'm not the host anymore and it won't end the meeting.
No, you guys are okay to hop off if you
okay.
want.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great
thank
day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so let's get back to the agenda. Treasurer's report. Mitch sent it out, I think, yesterday, and he noted what the changes were. So does anybody have any questions about what the changes were or any expenses that we've incurred?
It was pretty minimal.
Yeah, it was. If not, we'll move on from the treasurer's report to project updates. Chris.
Okay, the first property, 7162 State Route 54, we did receive an offer on that, but they were not able to obtain financing, so that one was withdrawn. There has been good interest in that property, so we do fully expect to have an offer here within the coming month. So far, so good on that.
Great.
The next property, 44 Upper Farnham, that did, we have closed on that and it sold. So it's out of the inventory log. So we are down to just the Bath property. That closed, I believe, a week or two ago. So all set there.
Perfect. One down and one to go.
Mm-hmm.
How
next
about,
we have,
yeah.
Habitat for Humanity. Both of these are currently under contract. Third Street is expected to close within the next 4 weeks and Park Ave within the next 6 weeks. Both of those are moving along great too. So kudos to Lisa and her team on those projects.
Okay, well, that's good. Anything else with Habitat?
No.
Okay, moving on to, how about the, we talked before at the last meeting about the eviction moratorium and the auction. It may not be on the agenda, but we should at least find out what's the update on that.
Yeah, so the eviction moratorium's over. So that we don't have to worry about anymore. In the update on the in-rem foreclosure, has changed a little bit. And this meeting usually comes before finance where it would be brought up, so we can discuss it a little bit. I reached out to neighboring counties to see how they were doing the conferencing, because as you all remember, we were going to do, the county was going to do about a group of 40 for a conference of properties. And it looks like everybody's foregoing the conferences. So I have spoken with Tammy and Mitch, and we are going to get the full summary judgment on the full batch that's been on hold, ready to go. Because some have been redeemed and sold in the meantime from when we try to file it in September. So we're thinking maybe sometime in April, we'll take title to 120, 140 properties, somewhere in that ballpark. So there will be some more properties coming up. One of the reasons for the delay too is not only to get it updated, but nobody thought it was a good idea to take title to properties in the wintertime. So we were waiting until spring hit so we didn't have to shovel or heat or do those
Let's
things.
Let's hope. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, yeah, maybe May, knowing if it's upstate New York, but that's the thought.
So have you looked at that list of 120 to 140 properties to see if there's anything that might, you know, be
not specific. Sorry, Hilda. Not specifically. About 5 or 6 months ago, I looked at the big list, and but that's just kind of a wishful thinking because we really didn't have any game plan. But now that we know that there's 120 to 140, you know, ready for April, I think I should start digging down into that and seeing what we can do.
And just to mention, the redemption date for the next round, which would be in May, is next week. Oh. So you're looking at another 200.
Wow. Seriously.
After take title, the first one, we're trying to work with the auctioneer to figure out what makes sense, whether to do them all in one or divide them up and all that. So we'll have more, but we're looking at probably 300 properties by summer that would be
ready to go.
Wow.
It's a lot of properties, but you know,
wow,
do our best.
Yeah. Anybody have any comments on that?
What changed other than you talked to other counties? I mean, I thought we were headed down this conference path.
Yeah. So this is interesting. I talked to Ontario County. They decided to not do it. And they, because it's an administrative order that the court gets to determine in their discretion whether to do it. They decided not to do it because St. Lawrence County did it this last fall. They kind of went first and everybody watched. They had 150 conferences and 10 people showed up, as we predicted. Yeah. So with that information spreading like wildfire, people started to just, the judges said, forget it. This is a waste of time. Let's just move forward.
So we think our judges will be amenable to that?
Yeah, I think so. I still have to schedule a time to talk to, I think one of our judges will handle it and discuss this with him and have information for him to reach out to the other judges that I talked to. They said it was fine.
Okay.
So we're trying to coordinate that so that they see that it's a complete waste of time. And I think because it's in his discretion with this first round, I'm really going to push the issue that these people all owed their money by March 1st, 2020, pre-pandemic.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, John.
All right. Well, so what's the next step?
I think Mitch and I should, you know, look at the 120, 140. He can provide it to me and I can look through it and pour through it and see which properties are ripe for rehab and ripe for demo. I have a feeling, just a gut feeling, that there's going to be plenty of demo candidates. So, because we haven't done this in 3 years, so.
Yeah. Do we need Arbor to help you?
Yeah, I was going to work with Tara and Danielle as well on they do inspections once we can narrow down that list and see, kind of give ballpark estimates on these things. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Chris, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Hey, this is Ray. Is 25 Tuscarora on that big list?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I would assume so, because I cannot view it on the county website, which typically means they're passed.
Okay, because that would be a good property for rehab.
Yep. So that is on my internal list to track as well. That's already been started. So I will report back at next meeting on that one.
Okay. Thank you.
So we should also remember that we need to consider the locations in the communities that we haven't really been very involved in yet.
Agreed with that. Yeah, we'll have a cross section of the county for candidates.
Cool. Any questions on what we just talked about for the new, all those properties that will be coming in?
Nope.
No questions.
Cool. All right. Anything else? Looks like we got some work ahead of us, so that's a good thing. Now we might need some money. And I know we talked before about ARPA funds and waiting until, the end to see if there's any money left over. But anybody have any update on that? Just want to wait and see.
No update. I guess my thought or recommendation would be see what this list looks like and how many potential projects we have, and that could determine what the ask would be.
And the type of project too.
Right.
I mean, if it's a rehab or a demo, it makes a difference.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. Anybody have anything else? If not,
I don't.
Okay. Our next meeting is scheduled for April 6th. We could have a lot of information by then, hopefully. And Chris, maybe is if there's something that can be dispersed to the group, to the board, maybe we can do that before our next meeting in an email to kind of give us an update on where we are with some of these properties.
Yep, that can be done.
Perfect. All right. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, everyone. Motion is passed and we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.